Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey everybody, welcome to Unlocking the Magic, and on today's show, we are going to talk about some mistakes to avoid when planning your Disney vacation.
Now this is a little different. We did an episode back a few months ago now. Mm-hmm. It was episode number 12, Things to Know Your First Disney Trip. So this is kind of goes hand in hand with that. This is a little different. That was more of things that we wish we knew on our first Disney trip. But these are like mistakes we see people who go all the time, who come back and talk to us or email us, and they say, oh, why didn't we know that?
Exactly. I feel so bad when I run into someone that I haven't seen in a long time and we talk and they say they just got back from a Walt Disney World vacation and they kind of sigh as if like they were so exhausted. And I look at them and I'm like, oh my gosh, why didn't you call me? Like, I could have helped you. Like, they literally did every mistake possible and they didn't have a great experience. I mean, they had fun, but not a very memorable experience.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes people go to Disney and they try to either overplan or they underplan. There's no like happy medium. Like, they either plan way too much to do in a certain amount of time and they think they can do way more than they can, or they just kind of go and they like don't realize that you have to make your reservations ahead of time, or that the parks fill up on Christmas and it could be capacity and they go 3 hours after it opens and they can't get in.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's a lot of mistakes that people make that maybe they don't realize, and hopefully this will help them not avoid those few mistakes that, you know, we've made in the past and other people we know have made too.
Some of the more seasoned people that go down to Walt Disney, I'm sure that they know or might know now of some of these that we're going to mention. If there's anything that we missed that we're not mentioning, please email us and let us know. We'd love to talk about it and add more. Of course, like, everybody has a different sort of experience too. Like, some things that we might have missed, or, you know, that might not be something that we think we should avoid.
Right.
You know, might be a good idea to add. But, you know, I think that it's important. You talked about overplanning and underplanning. Why don't we get into it and start?
All right, let's go
list.
Go ahead. Sorry, what do you have first?
All right, so my first mistake to avoid, and I know I'm going to get a lot of emails about this, is park hopping. And the reason why, I think I've talked about this in a previous show, but I really have a hard time focusing on one particular park I strongly believe that, and I struggle with this a lot, is I try to be and live in the moment. And I have a hard time with that when I know I can go to the next park.
Even worse than that, when you know that you have reservations for at another park later in the day.
Yeah. So what I feel, and, you know, as the kids get older, you will find that you have, you know, more energy to do park hopping and being able to run around and do everything. But you don't necessarily enjoy where you are at the moment. And in the back of your mind, like Bruce said, if you have a reservation somewhere, it takes a long time to get from point A to point B. So if you're in Epcot and you have reservations at the Magic Kingdom, you know, oh, you think you're just going to hop on the monorail and you're going to get to the Magic Kingdom. But I think a lot of people fail to remember that you also have to go back through the lines and get your band scanned. You know, there's a whole process.
And not to mention that getting off the monorail at Epcot and then getting into the park is like 2 miles.
Yeah, exactly. The amount of walking just to get out and back into a park, to me, is daunting. Like,
right.
I don't want to think about that. And we are pretty, I would like to think we're a pretty fit family. And even still, I get so exhausted. And I think that just park hopping and it's pricey too. Having the park hopper on there just as a what if, you know, it can add a significant amount on your budget. And I just don't think it's necessary. You're at the Magic Kingdom. You can go in and out of the Magic Kingdom if you please, you know, as you please. Like,
there's so much to do in each park. You don't need to leave. You can spend the whole day there.
I wonder if anybody out there has a difficult time like that as we do, like enjoying the moment, being in the moment. Like, I feel like sometimes you and I feel like we're kids. So like, we're always thinking of the next thing. Like, we're on Space Mountain. We can't wait to go on, you know, the laugh floor. So, you know, so I think that having the park hopper, it gives you too much flexibility.
Yeah, I agree.
And I I just struggle with it. So
it just makes you think of what's next instead of what are you doing now and appreciating what you're doing and where you are.
Right. Like, it's really nice to see, be in a specific park and at the end of the night, like, say goodbye.
Right.
It really just.
And you can stay at the park, you know, an hour after it closes and just, you might not be, the rides will be closed, but you can kind of like wander around, and that's kind of the best time to take photos of stuff at night when there, because there's less people. Because, you know, when the park closes, everybody thinks, oh man, the park's closed at 9. We got to get out by 9. But I mean, there's restaurants that have reservations past that, and there's people kind of wandering around. They let you stay pretty late after it closes. So it's kind of the best time to take pictures of stuff in the park.
Yeah, don't rush out of there. They do like close off certain sections as the night gets later as far as closing time. So once it officially closes, they'll block off certain areas to kind of shuffle people into one area. But it's my favorite time to not only book reservations for dining, because I know that I'm not missing anything inside the park, but also it's one of my favorite times to shop. Some of the stores, like down Main Street, is open. And so right. I really love that.
So don't park hop.
Yeah, that's number one.
Yeah, if you got to get the dining plan, they make you choose between park hopping or water parks. Get the water parks.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if you don't go. You know, it's just something that you could do if it's a real hot day. If you're going in February and you think you're not going to go, what if it's 80 degrees, 85 degrees one day, and you might end up wanting to go there?
True. So that leads us to number two.
Yep.
I would say the mistakes to avoid going park to park to park. Like, if you have 5 days in Walt Disney World and you 4 of those days are you're going to parks, I think you're going to be wiped out.
Yeah.
And I don't care how veteran you are. I don't care how seasoned you are. It is so exhausting.
Yeah, people always take way too much planning into time. They always come back from their Disney vacation saying, oh, I wish I need another vacation from my vacation. And if you're saying you need a vacation from your vacation, you packed way too much in, and you should just scale it back a little bit and enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah, you definitely did it wrong in our opinion. I think that going from park to park, we've done it a couple times. And actually, this last trip that we did, I think we, because it's very enticing. As you buy more park tickets, the prices go down. So you're like, oh, for another, you know, it's like $75, we can go at another day.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we do that?
Yeah, I'm going for every day you add after like the third or fourth day is only like $20. So you always end up adding 7 days. I'm going to go for 7 days. So going for 7 days, I'm going to 7 days of park. It's only $100.
Exactly. In the grand scheme of things. But so
say that $100 and rent a car.
Stop. Sorry. We said we were going to go there today.
Oh, sorry. I had to throw it in there.
Oh, my gosh. So I think that that's really important and a mistake to avoid, definitely. I think that it's hard to do that much, that cram it all in. And I know as much as it is enticing to buy more and more park tickets, you know, and you can buy them as like the last day your last ticket expires, you can actually add on. So if you're not exhausted and want to add more, then go for it, you know, but I think that it's tricky.
Yeah. Like you said, you can add them on. So if you go get your if you're going for 7 days, get your 3 days or 4 days parks, and then
play it out.
Yeah. If you feel great and you want to do another day and you're there, add a day on. You can always do that later.
With the thing about that is just keep in mind you're probably going to eat at a lot of the quick service places because most of the
dining reservations
are booked. But that's okay. There's some great quick service places, especially if one of those days you're adding on is like Epcot. You know, you don't even need a dining reservation in Epcot. You don't have to. I mean, there's so many quick service places there that are fantastic.
I mean, you could eat at all quick service places. It's not just hot dogs and hamburgers there.
No. I think that's I'm going to get into that one next.
All right.
I guess I'll just say this right now. It's my next mistake to avoid would be not going on the Disney website and viewing the restaurant options and menus. So not only does Disney do a great job, you know, listing all their options for dining, but you can click any restaurant menu and see not only their dinner menu, you can see their lunch and breakfast menu. And that came in handy for me because I was finding that when I was booking restaurants before our trip, I think a couple times I realized that I was booking like 2 Italian restaurants back to back. And I thought, oh, okay, let me like look at the menu and see, okay, so we're going to eat at the Kona Cafe this day, which is really Hawaiian feel. dinner, and then the next day we were eating at like Mama, you know, more Italian dinner.
Tony's.
Or
I have no idea about this one actually, because I never plan our dining.
It's true. You just show up and you're like, oh, we're having fish tonight. Yeah. Oh, we're having spaghetti tonight.
I can't
add
anything to this conversation right now.
We're going to sci-fi. We're having burgers.
But, are we going?
But I think that that is huge. And back to what we talked about earlier about the quick service, you don't have to eat hot dogs and hamburgers. And I think that will help a lot of people out there, especially with young kids that might be picky eaters, look at the menus and see exactly what they offer as far as the whole meal and kids' menus. Keep in mind, a 10-year-old is considered an adult in right. Disney. So you will be able to order. You don't have to, but you will be able to order an adult menu at any age. Yeah, 10 and up. Did I say? I know. I'm yeah. sorry.
It's all right.
It's a good thing I have you on the show.
Yeah. I'm so paying attention today.
So happy. And there's some really great options out there that I think people just do some investigating on that, because I fell upon, you know, like a Grand Floridian Cafe, the sci-fi restaurant. I'm sure that one's more popular. But
I mean, Kona Cafe is a popular one, kind of popular. If you know about it, I think. Like, if you've gone there before, you know about it. But for newbies like us, when we first went there, Kona Cafe kind of wasn't on our radar.
That's
I think
true.
People get overlooked the atmosphere, because it's kind of in the lobby of the Polynesian, so it doesn't have the greatest atmosphere from looking from the outside in. But when you're in there, you don't notice that. And the food is really good. It has great sushi, too.
It really has great sushi.
I think that's an underrated restaurant that I think people kind of overlook. And it seems to always have reservations. So if you can't get into Ohana or the dinner show there, Kona Cafe is a really good alternative.
Yeah, the dinner show is fantastic. I've had people tell me that it's better than things they've seen in actually Hawaii, which is incredible. But I've never been to Hawaii, so I can't comment on that.
Right.
But definitely, I think that Ohana, which is also there, you know, people don't see that there's something else available as well, and it's really good. But again, like going onto the Disney site, looking at these restaurants, but then take the time to click on the menu and look at the, you know, menu options can change, but usually they stay the same within the 6 month period, you know. So
right.
if you're looking,
unless it's a holiday, man. But usually on holidays, you just add some stuff. They don't usually take anything away.
Oh, right. Yeah, that could be a whole nother podcast we can
right.
do. So the next one would be not scheduling downtime. And by scheduling downtime, it could be anything. It could be relaxing, a whole day relaxing at the resort, which I really love doing. I love doing more than just a day. I think if you're paying and staying on Disney property, if you're failing to enjoy the resort, I think that you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, if you're staying at the Polynesian or a deluxe resort or even a moderate resort, even a
anywhere,
and you're staying there for 7 days and you're going to 6 days of parks or doing stuff, that's too much. Like, why bother?
Exactly.
The reason you stay at a Disney resort is to enjoy the Disney. Disney has
atmosphere.
A certain way of running that resort in that you won't find at any other resort. You're not going to go to a hotel around the corner and get that quality that Disney has when it comes to the cast members or the cleanliness or the service or the options. So if you're staying there for 7 days, enjoy it for at least 3 days out of the seven. And that's coming from me, who never wants to sit still anywhere.
Exactly. I was just going to say that goes a long way. I don't even think anybody out there listening really understands how little that person sits
that
still.
Hurt to say that, actually.
But every time I schedule the downtime, he has no choice, and he's like, afterwards he thanks me, because he's like, you know what, I had the best time.
Yeah.
I just kind of hung out. And
I think that's
true.
Why we enjoy our Disney trips so much, is that we do force ourselves to not overdo it. So if we take a 7 day Disney trip, we only go to the parks 3 days, maybe four tops if we're feeling good when we're down there.
I will say that
and it's never usually back to back. Sorry.
And not only is it not back to back, but it's never boring. Like, we've never planned a trip that we thought, oh, there's nothing to do. It's boring. You know what I mean? Like,
the first couple we did, because we didn't listen to us.
Well, that's true. If we listened to us back when we knew. But I think that that's important. And if you don't have a whole day to, you know, relax at the resort, if you're planning on going, you know, doing whatever, you know, just carve some time. Even if it's like, if you're at the, we've done this a couple times, especially if you have little kids. If you take a midday break, even if you're at the park, like, you don't have to go back to your hotel if you don't want to. But we've had times where we just kind of found a corner, found a place, wherever park we're in, and kind of relaxed and people watched.
I think we even were at the Magic Kingdom one time, and we left the Magic Kingdom, and we weren't staying at any of the hotels, but we went to the Contemporary and ate lunch at the resort in the quick service place. And
we
kind of sat out back just to take an hour to get out kind of away from everybody, kind of recharge that battery. And it worked well. And then we just took the monorail right back around and went back to the Magic Kingdom like an hour and a half later. And the kids lasted till it closed, and it was ended up being fantastic. But if we forced ourselves to stay there that whole time, we would end up miserable.
Yeah, we would never have made it that long. We would have been miserable. You know, it's a lot. It's a lot of sensory overload, and it's so exciting to be anywhere in Disney. But when you're in the parks, there's definitely it's an overload. Like sometimes you just need to recharge.
Totally.
And you don't have to leave. Like Bruce said, we left a couple times, but you don't have to do that. Like there's plenty of places in the parks where you can kind of hang out. It's just most people miss those places.
Right.
You kind of walk by them, you know, but there, take a minute, read some plaques that are out and about, read, you know, just enjoy your scenery and your environment. I think that's huge.
Totally.
All right,
what's next?
I'm going to go right into these next two because they're opposite of each other.
Okay.
So my first one's going to be overplanning. And I know a lot of people are going to say overplan. How can you possibly overplan on your Disney vacation? But it's possible because if you're planning minute to minute to minute, and that goes back towards what we were talking about, not scheduling time to relax. You know, if you have every second of your vacation planned, you're going to annoy someone.
Yeah, me.
And your angers. And you're not going to do what I say as far as living in the moment. It's going to be really hard for you to take some time and appreciate where you are and enjoy where you are at the moment. I really think I've seen it all and I've done it all. I've overplanned a ton and I remember it failed in the end, you know. Disney is great, you know, about having a lot of tools that you can use. You know, now you can, you know, book your fast passes right from home before your vacation, which is awesome, but you don't have to plan every second, every minute of your day.
I think you should plan your meals.
Yeah.
And that's it. And a couple fast passes.
I think that your meals, your fast passes, and trying to think out of the box as far as, you know, where you're going to hang out on your downtime, you know, like we talk about, you know, going down to the boardwalk a lot. We talk about a lot of different things that most people don't necessarily do. Or think it's important. I think that could be things you should plan. So now I'm going to reverse it. And I'm going to say that the mistakes to avoid is underplanning.
Yes.
Because it's important to plan, like Bruce said, your dining reservations. One of the things that I made the first few times we went was I planned dining reservations, which I thought I was doing a great job. But I wasn't realizing where each restaurant was located. And how we were going to get to them.
Right.
I was just like, oh, we'll be here. We'll have a park hopper. We'll do this. It was exhausting. It was so much time wasting going from A to B that it didn't make any sense at all. So
yeah, like if you're in Magic Kingdom one day, don't make your dinner reservation around the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yeah.
Kind of stay in that vicinity. You know, you're in the Magic Kingdom. Make your dinner reservation either in the Magic Kingdom or around the loop of the Magic Kingdom Resort. Don't leave that area and try to focus on that. Like that's how you should plan. Underplan means you go there, you don't make your reservations ahead of time, and then you're going to be scrambling for a place to eat, and you will end up eating hamburgers and hot dogs because your kids are hungry, they're bugging you, and you just want to get something quick.
Yeah, and I hate that.
Yeah, that's so there's so many more options that you can do that you don't need to do that. But overplanning means you don't need to schedule every second, every 30 minutes of the day, you know? You don't need to say, okay, we're going to start on this ride, then we're going to go to this ride, then we're going to go to this ride, then we're going to eat lunch, then we're going to go on this ride. Don't do that.
We've seen the overplanners often.
The people who need a vacation when they get home because they're so stressed out.
It's true. It's true. But again, like not, you know, planning your reservations. What really helps me a lot is when we're getting ready to go down there, depending on the season, I try to book out what parks we're going to go to in advance. And I pick the day in my mind.
Right.
And how I do that is I usually pick the park, and I'm going to throw this out there. I pick the slowest days to go to such and such park. So typically a Tuesday I'm going to say, is the slower day to visit. I know. This is killing me. Sorry.
No, I mean, you can just look up a line with the slowest
date. I'm just kidding. I love you out there. I want to share this with everybody. But
yeah,
no, Touring
Plans has, like, the guide crowd. And I don't know. I don't know. Maybe other people have had luck, but I feel like every time I look at the crowd map, it's like, yeah, it's going to be slow. And then I almost swore there.
Listen.
It's really busy. And then they're like, oh, today's going to be a heavy, busy day. And then we go there and it's not busy. I'm like, I don't know if I...
Well, this is the reason. It has been getting busier and busier every time. It's a fact that more and more people are visiting the parks than before.
I know that 2014, I want to say, mm-hmm. was a really almost. I think I want to say the. I don't know if I want to say the largest number of travelers to Florida, but it was.
But there was a lot.
Yeah, I think it might have been a record number of travelers to Florida that year. I think I read in the paper down there.
Well, we did get a lot of snow in New England.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
People were flying out of here.
Well, that was 2015. I'm talking about 2014.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Well, anyway,
a lot of snow here all the time, which is
that's true.
Why we need to get out of here.
Why do people live here on purpose?
I don't know. Why do people choose to live here? We choose to live here.
We choose. We go from raking leaves to shoveling snow.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I would say that a couple of things. And this, you're not going to find out this very far in advance, you know, like, you know, 180 days or so. But usually the busier days are the days that offer the extended hours. So if it opens early or it closes late, those are the days that, believe it or not, it's actually more crowded. So I try to base my restaurants by where we're going to be at a certain park. So generally, the Magic Kingdom is slower on a Wednesday. And then Thursday we take a break and then go again, like later on in the week. Animal Kingdom is the less popular park for the end of the week.
Right.
So again, you know, you can kind of keep that in the back of your mind and then book, like Bruce said, try to book restaurants where you will be in the general vicinity, you know, so that you're not wasting time driving around, you know, trying to change buses or whatever. And
rent
I think
a car.
It sounds really obvious, and like I know a lot of the seasoned listeners out there that are, you know, listening, you know, really know this already, but I think it's really important to just explain to others that how important it can be taking or just keeping in the back of your mind, like, you know, that it's going to take you a long time. If you already know that in the back of your mind, then it doesn't
right.
really matter, I guess.
Right.
But for me, I try to.
I think people way. Did I say way?
You
underestimate how long it takes to use Disney transportation.
Yeah. So my next one is going to say, I'm going to say, not prepping for Florida weather beyond the rain gear. Like, everybody knows that it rains. Well, most people know it rains. It's hot in Florida.
I don't think they know. I think they know it rains in Florida, but I think you look out the window and you look at the news and you're like, hey, it's going to be a sunny day today. And that could change in a second.
Yeah. You just snapped your fingers.
Yeah, I did. You heard that?
Yeah, I think so. That was pretty... yeah, and it gets chilly beyond, like, I don't know if it's for my, like, I usually get a sunburn on there no matter how I try not to avoid the sun, but Florida weather is really, the sun is really strong, so even though you think, you know, 75 degrees and sunny isn't going to be that strong of a sun, it really can burn, like, your kids. So I really...
Especially if you live in Alaska like we do.
Yeah, I always underestimate that, and I forget how close we are to the border and how, you know, it's really strong sunshine. And I, on the flip side of the coin, I always fail to remember that Florida can get really cold. And I don't know if it's because I always have a sunburn that I, like, feel colder at the nighttime. It's weird. But it can
Well, I think it can change. It could go – you could be 85 degrees one day, and then the next day it could be 40. It does
right.
get cold in Florida at certain points.
I feel like the last few years I'm noticing the climate change more and more. Like, I never really remember us going and it was such a swim. Oh, well, maybe. I do have some pictures of us. One day we were literally all in swimsuits. And the next day I somehow, because we left Alaska in February and we had our winter
coats. Yeah, sweatshirts. We're all bundled up because we took in the boat over. It was freezing.
Yeah, I had the girls wear their winter coat. I was so thankful that we had them. It was freezing. We spent the whole day in the Magic Kingdom, and we were comfortable because we had the coats. But if we didn't have the coats, we would definitely be buying very expensive jackets down there, because you don't want to. That's the kind of stuff like you don't want to buy when you're on vacation.
That's the difference between flying and driving, though. Sometimes when you're flying, and we did a whole episode about the do's and don'ts of flying or driving to Disney, so check that one out.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you're flying, you have to sacrifice certain items because they don't fit in your bag. And sometimes those winter jackets are part of that.
Right.
I think that's the benefit of driving. You can actually fit more stuff if you have a bigger car, I guess.
That's true. I try to wear stuff on the plane. It's easier.
Yeah. All right, so if you're going to, you got to be aware of the weather. It can change in an instant. If it's nice out in the morning, doesn't mean it's not going to rain later or it's not going to get cold. So make sure that you, it's called the sunshine state, but it doesn't mean it's sunny and hot there all the time. If you go in February, there's a likelihood that you're going to find a cold day.
Exactly.
So be prepared for that.
My last one, and I know Bruce is going to go into this a little bit better than I am because I get emotional, but really, the last one is the most important one. And mistakes to avoid is really not seeing the big picture while you're on vacation at Walt Disney World. I honestly, truly believe the reason why we love going down to Walt Disney World so much is because there's so many messages out there that really anything is possible. You really have to bring your kids and really connect with your family when you're down there. Take that time to appreciate where you are. And I think that people really fail to see that. They think, you know, they're going to a theme park, they want to be entertained the whole time, but really carve out some time and enjoy the moment with your kids and your whoever you're with.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the theme park is there. Walt Disney wanted a place for him to go with his daughters that he could actually have a little bit of fun with them instead of where all the other places where he was just kind of sitting on the sideline watching them have fun. And that's what it's all about. So really take the time to appreciate the time with your family while you're there. And it's not all about the rides. You know, walk around, talk to your kids, have fun at dinner. It doesn't have to be about going from ride to ride to ride.
Exactly. Exactly. And I also think, you know, like pulling up some books about Walt Disney before your trip is huge. Like it
Right.
really connects you to the place and makes it a lot more special than just another theme park, you know. I mean, Walt Disney World never will be, you know, just an average place, but it really pulls you into the history of the parks, and it's incredible to see
Yeah. I
with
mean,
your
anybody who
family.
goes to any other theme parks, wherever you live, you know, there's always, wherever you live in the country or the world, there's always theme parks near you. And when you go to Disney, you see the difference of what, you know, that theme park means to people and, you know, the experience that you have there compared to your average theme park near your house.
Right, exactly. So that would be my number one thing. If you've forgotten everything, if you didn't listen to anything I said in the beginning of the show, it's okay. Just listen to that last tip,
Right.
that last mistake to avoid. Just make sure you do take the time to see the bigger picture.
All right, that's it.
That's gonna do it.
All
So
right, I'm not going to
speaking
mention
of,
anything else other than
you're
this.
not?
No, I'm not going to go into it. All I'm going to say is if you like the show and you enjoy listening to it, the best way to help us spread the word is to share it with somebody that you know that would enjoy it as well and subscribe, whether it be in iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Because really, subscribing to the show lets us know that you love it. And also by sharing it with other people who you think would be interested and can like it and can talk to us, we get more of a reach that way than any other way.
Oh, I know. I love it. Please, everyone, tell your friends and family about the show. We love it.
All right. If you have any
Love doing it.
questions, you know, our email address is info@unlockingthemagic.com. You can always submit questions. I'm sure we'll be talking about doing another listener show for the next 20 episodes, and then we'll actually do it 6 months from now.
We have to collect emails.
Right.
And our kids want to come on a show with us too, so
Yeah.
we
So
have
maybe in
to
the
be
future we'll do a show with
promises.
our kids.
Definitely.
Question of the show. If we do a show with the kids, what should the show be about? We were thinking about maybe doing our kids' favorite or our kids' favorite show about what their favorite thing to do at Walt Disney World is with that's not an attraction.
Yes. So on a kid's perspective.
Yeah,
So
tell us
we,
if that's a show that you want to hear. So maybe we'll bring our kids on or some other kids. Maybe we'll get the kids next door to come over.
The neighbors.
Yeah, we'll find some kids in the street and pick
We'll
them up.
find some kids. Oh gosh, Bruce, really. All
All right,
right.
let's end it.
All right,
All right, we'll
everybody.
see you
Thank you
guys in the
so
next
much.
episode.
Okay.